You know, there's five classic radio shows, Lisa, waiting for people. And, folks, that means you. Everyone listening to this radio show is entitled to five free classic radio shows at our website, 100radioshows.com. Now, we've set up this website so we can thank you for listening to this show. Five shows: Suspense, Jack Benny, Richard Diamond, Private Detective, Fibber McGee and Molly, and Gunsmoke.
Huh? You got it.
Off the top of my head, Lisa.
I know. I was watching your eyes kind of searching for that.
I'm like, what are the shows again? But we purposely took these five shows right from the master recordings. Mike digitally remastered them. They sound amazing. And when you go to 100radioshows.com, 100radioshows.com, when you go there, at the very top of the website, it says put your email address. You just put your email in there and hit send, and then within like a minute, even less, seconds, you will get an email from us. If you don't get an email from us, then it ended up in your spam folder, so go there. But it'll be an email to you with five classic radio show links, and those links never expire. You can Bluetooth them to your car, you can, or to your radio, whatever you want to do, and you can listen to those five classic radio shows. Now, there's also something else at that website. There are seven collections, and soon there will be eight, Lisa. I'm working on an entire sci-fi collection. I didn't tell you about
this. No, so we're going to have, what, 800?
Yeah, so there's seven collections at the website. Each one of these collections has 100 radio shows, all digitally remastered. And there's a Christmas one, all Christmas shows. There's a greatest shows. There's a drama, all dramas. There's an all Western, an all mystery, and an all detective.
And a comedy.
Yeah.
Can't forget that.
No. And these collections, as I said, have 100 shows, about 50 hours of material. Now, if you want to purchase any of those, you can, but make sure that you use the promo code radio at checkout. Now, when you go to checkout and you're, you know, ordering these, put the promo code radio in there and you will save 70%. So this is a great way to build your library. There's 700 shows there, all digitally remastered, all sound amazing. And you can buy them at a very, very low price, because 70% off by using the promo code radio. That's our other way of thanking you for listening to this show, right?
Right. So either way, check out the website, take the five free shows, enjoy them. And if you'd like to purchase more, that's wonderful. And if you don't, you're still, and we hope that you'll enjoy those five shows.
Yeah. Get the five shows at least. Check it all out. You know, these are all digital downloads. And then there are still people that like the CDs, right? Well, these, the ones at 100radioshows.com, they're not on CD. It's all digital downloads. But if you are someone who wants to order CDs of classic radio shows, go to our other website, which is classicradioclub.com. Now, at the classicradioclub.com website, you can order 10 shows. You know, you'll get 10 shows every month, either on CD, because a lot of people still like CDs, Lisa, or digital downloads. Yeah, so check that out, too. There's two ways you can build your library of classic radio shows. And the great thing about the club is you'll get 10 shows sent to you each month that I handpick from our library of over 100,000 shows. Plus, I write liner notes for these shows, very detailed liner notes.
Well, you can get the liner notes whether you get the CD or the digital download.
That's right.
Either way, you'll get a little bit of the history of each show and learn about that. And either way, you'll still get 10 great classic radio shows sent to you every single month.
Yeah, it's a great way. It's a great way to get the best of the best, because I'm always putting like really special shows in there. And like just recently, I found an episode of Martin and Lewis that had, you know, Lucille Ball on it, and it was like 45 minutes long, and not 30, because they went you know, did a special presentation because Lucille Ball was on, you know, stuff like that.
It's always such a different side of Lucille Ball than you would normally see on, you know, My Favorite Husband.
Yeah, but anyway, ClassicRadioClub.com or 100RadioShows.com. In our next hour, Frank Sinatra stars as Rocco Fortunato in Rocky Fortune from 1953, and then we'll tune into a little mystery called The Unexpected. Hour 5 of the WGN Radio Theater. We are here every single Saturday night from 10 p.m. till 3 o'clock in the morning, bringing you your favorite classic radio shows. Right, Lisa?
Right. We're happy to be here. Excited to deliver these classic radio shows to you in pristine quality.
Yeah, we're all about quality here. And in this hour, Rocky Fortune, starring Frank Sinatra, will also have some time to play a quarter-hour mystery series called The Unexpected from 1948 with Barry Sullivan. That'll be coming your way as well. But I have to ask you, Lisa, how is this Vistro food service going for you? Are you enjoying it?
I am enjoying it so much. That's why I wanted to mention it to our listeners, because I feel like if I'll like it, they'll like it. I love it. So Vistro is a food delivery service, but it's very unique in that it's all vegetarian and vegan items. So, you know, I know sometimes people might shy away from that because they'll say, well, I'm not a vegetarian. Well, you don't have to be to enjoy this, and you're going to be the spokesperson for that, because everything is 100% plant-based, but it's also very healthy and organic and preservative-free.
So I can get meatloaf plant-based, right?
Exactly.
It'll taste like meatloaf, but it's better for me because it's plant-based.
There's no grease and there's no fat.
You're making me hungry.
I know. You can get country fried chicken. You can get a breakfast burrito. You can have a calzone or a pizza or some veggie lasagna.
Well, I am Italian,
the
so
list
calzone
goes on
sounds pretty
and
good.
On. It's all fresh. It's all organic. It's all prepared by their chefs. They deliver it right to you frozen.
Yeah.
And all you do
put it in
the microwave or the oven.
Wow.
Ta-da.
And you just eat it.
All you gotta do is eat it. That's it. You heat it,
you know,
you eat
you're
it.
You're really talking me into this.
Well, I certainly hope so.
Here's what I'm going to do. I am going to go onto the website this week.
All right.
And I'm going to order some food, and I'll give you an update next week.
I'm excited to hear about it. You know, if you want high-protein meals, or if you want gluten-free meals, or low-calorie, soy, whatever you want, you're in it.
Vistro.com, and there's two E's. It's V-E-E-S-T-R-O. com.
Check it out.
Right.
You will love it.
Sounds good. When we come back from the break, it's Frank Sinatra in Rocky Fortune. Stick around.
Our guardian star lost all his glow the day that I lost you. He lost all his glitter the day you said no, and his silver turned to blue. Like him, I am doubtful that your love is true. But if you decide to call on me, ask for Mr. Blue. I'm Mr. Blue. When you say you love me, then prove it by going out on the sly, proving your love isn't true. Call me Mr. Blue. I'm Mr. Blue. When you say you're sorry,
Mr. Blue,
then turn around, heading for the lights of town, hurting me through and through.
All right, Lisa, it's time for Rocky Fortune. This was a very interesting radio series. You know, Frank Sinatra was on the radio all the time, right? He was always singing on the radio, though. He never had his own dramatic series until Rocky Fortune. It began in October of 1953. NBC aired 26 episodes of a dramatic series called Rocky Fortune that starred the one and only Frank Sinatra. Sinatra in his only lead in a recurring dramatic radio show, played Rocco Fortunato, a young New Yorker with considerable talents, consistently in need of employment, who accepted odd jobs from the Gridley Employment Agency. Now, during the course of the series, Rocky would work as a process server, a museum tour guide, a cabbie, a bodyguard, a chauffeur, truck driver. He would have been an Uber now.
Right, for sure. Or maybe a Lyft.
Or Lyft, yeah. And he was even a social director on one of the episodes. Now, these jobs typically led Rocky into situations where he would solve a crime, usually while rescuing a beautiful woman in need of help. Sinatra infused the role with witty, tongue-in-cheek humor that mirrored Sinatra's own career at the time, and a very popular series. This episode is from October 13th, 1953. It's called Stephen in a Rest Home. Here's old Blue Eyes, Frank Sinatra, starring in Rocky Fortune.
Frank Sinatra, transcribed as Rocky Fortune. NBC presents Frank Sinatra, starring as that footloose and frequently unemployed young gentleman, Rocky Fortune.
I don't know about you, but I'm the kind of guy who can't stay put. I get restless. Give me a nice soft job, a buck in my pocket, and a meal ticket, and one will get you 10, I'll quit the job, lose the buck on the GGs, and exchange the meal ticket for a train ticket. Hey, you take last week, for instance. The employment agency sends me down to Houston Street for a job as a chauffeur. Hey, Mac, this 159 Houston?
And what do you want?
Somebody wants to hire a chauffeur.
A chauffeur?
I made a joke?
You take a look around this neighborhood, mister. Who you think got money for a chauffeur? Not even for food, he got money.
Look, all I know is the agency got a call for a chauffeur. 5'9", thin, chauffeur's license, must be able to wear pre-cut uniform.
And you get the wrong bleed.
159 Houston, sixth floor.
This is 159 Houston. My name is Zekonik. I'm the janitor. You take a look how many floors we got, eh?
Maybe they meant fifth floor. I better go up.
Yeah. Go ahead. Let me know if you get the job, eh?
This don't look like chauffeur land to me, but I figure I already blew a subway token to get here, so I leg it up four flights of stairs left over from a Charles Adams cartoon. As I am rounding the turn at flight number 5, a funny-looking little guy steps out of the shadows.
Hey, buddy.
Yeah?
You got change for a buck.
Sure. Here.
Thanks.
Hey.
Huh?
Where's the clam?
Here.
Oh. Now, I've been rolled before, but this guy works on my skull like he's a Sherman tank in the Aberdeen Proving Grounds. When I come to, I'm in a white room with iron grillwork in the windows. It's morning, which means I made an evening of it. Alongside my bed stands a gorilla in a white coat. I figure this place for a pad at Bellevue. I am mistaken.
Okay, take it easy, Steve.
Oh.
How do you feel this morning?
Oof.
You've had a couple of bad nights, Steve.
A couple? What day is this?
Tuesday.
Holy smokes. I've been out since Saturday.
Last week you were pretty good. Only a couple of lapses.
Did you say last week?
That's right, Steve.
The name is Rocky. Rocky Fortune.
You're not going to start that again, are you, Steve?
Start what?
That Rocky Fortune bit. Dr. Harris wouldn't like it.
Listen. Oh, what a hangover.
Take it easy.
Look, where am I, Buster?
Mount Kenzie Rest Home.
Mount Kenzie. Is that in the Bronx?
It's near Denver.
Denver? Denver, New York?
Denver, Colorado.
Okay, buddy. If the joke's over, I'll take my clothes and get out of here.
Joke, Steve?
Joke, Jake. Give me the clothes.
I'm afraid I can't do that. Not without Dr. Harris's order.
Will you tell the good doctor that Rocky Fortune wants to have a word with him?
Now, if you're going to insist on that, Steve, I'm afraid we'll have to try the treatment again.
What treatment?
Come along.
Take the hands off, Buster. You're etching the epidermis.
You coming along?
Not if I can help it.
Okay.
Johann's a big guy in the judo department, besides which they got me drugged like a hypochondriac with a third-degree hangnail. He drags me into a white tile room and starts to massage my head with a fist like a sledgehammer. Only this bum's got a new wrinkle. First he puts a pail on my head, and then he hits the pail. After 20 minutes of this, I begin to feel like the main bell on St. Mary's Christmas morning. Just when I think I can't take it anymore, a gray-haired guy with a scarred face ambles in.
All right, Johann, all right. That's enough. Take the pail off his head.
Oh.
How do you feel, Stephen?
Oh, just dandy.
Johann is so impulsive.
Repulsive.
Would you like a cigarette?
Yeah. How about get me out of this polo coat?
Yes, in a moment. First, I want to see if you've come to your senses.
Look, would you mind telling me what this is all about? One minute I'm being rolled in a hallway in New York City, and the next minute I wake up in Denver, Colorado.
Stephen, you've been here at Mount Kenzie for 8 years.
My name is Rocky, born Rocco Fortunato.
Your name is Stephen Crandall III. 8 years ago, you were thrown from a polo pony and sustained a head injury. You suffered from delusions. You've been under treatment here.
Come on, Doc. What's the ransom?
Ransom?
How much do I have to raise to get out of here?
You see, Johann, he's still very sick.
Poor fella.
Yes. I'm afraid we'll just have to continue the treatment. All right, Johann, put the pail on his head. Once again, what's your name?
Rocky. And if you don't like it, you can...
All right, Johann. Now we'll try it once more. Your name?
Go jumping.
Johann. Name? That's enough, Johann. Very well, young man, your name?
Stephen.
Stephen what, please?
Stephen Crandall, III.
Your age?
32.
How long have you been here?
8 years.
Why did you come here?
Polo accident.
Good, good. And now, once again, your name?
Crandall. Stephen Crandall.
By the time Johann and the phony doctor decided to call it a night, they almost had me convinced I was Stephen Crandall. Pardon me, the third. They dope me up again for the night, and next morning we cover the course again.
Good morning, Stephen. You slept well?
I had a funny dream.
So?
I dreamed I was a guy named Rocky Fortune. I dreamed I went to apply for a job as a chauffeur in New York City, and somebody sapped me. Pretty funny, huh?
But you understand it was only a dream.
Oh, sure.
I'm happy to hear that. You see, today we have a surprise for you. Can you guess?
I get a new pail. No jokes?
No jokes.
Check. What's the surprise?
You're going home.
I thought you said no jokes.
Well, this isn't a joke, Stephen. I feel you're ready to leave at last. We're going to let you go home, on trial, of course. Now, at the first sign of your delusion that you are someone other than Stephen Crandall, I'm afraid you'll have to return.
When do I fly?
Tomorrow morning. Johann will accompany you.
Get another shot of essence of vampire and wake up next morning feeling as strong as a mouse. Before I know what happens, they hustle me into a black Duesenberg and drive toward Denver. About 2 miles out of town, we cut up a winding private road and stop in front of a 28-room bungalow. The doc and Johann walk me to the door, close enough so I can feel the muzzle of Johann's .45 caressing my spine.
Hello?
door is opened by a medium-sized butler right out of Dickens, with side whiskers and all.
Yes, gentlemen.
Hello, Deems.
Why, it's Dr. Harris and Mr. Stephen. We weren't expecting you so early. Mr. Stephen, how are you?
Speak up, Steve.
Hmm? Oh, fine, Deems the old man, just peachy.
Come in, sir, come in. Welcome home.
Thanks.
Have a seat, Mr. Stephen. I'll inform Miss Laurie you're home.
I lower myself into a chunk of Chippendale and wait. My head aches and everything looks like a 3D movie without glasses. After a couple of minutes through the blur, I see a dame come floating down the staircase. Even in my weak condition, I can appreciate that she's got more curves than the Jersey Turnpike. She takes one look and comes on like gangbusters.
Steve, darling! Oh, darling, darling.
Sis? This is your wife, Steve. He's still a bit confused, Laura.
Oh, I understand, Doctor. Oh, it's good to have you home, Steve. Kiss me again, darling.
You know something, baby? It's good to be home. Clinch again, and I am just beginning to enjoy my new identity when Deemsey clears his adenoids and announces...
excuse me, Miss Laura. Judge Harley is calling.
The judge? Here? Well, Dr. Harris, is it all right?
Judge Harley is an old friend of the family, isn't he?
Yes, he's known Stephen since he was a boy.
Well, I think it'll be all right. Just behave yourself, Stephen.
Oh, sure.
Very well, Deems. Show him in.
Yes, ma'am.
Remember, Stephen.
How can I forget?
This way, Your Honor.
Laura. Well, 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 and Stephen. I heard you were coming home, but I didn't expect I'd actually find you here. How are you, my boy?
Great, great. Just great.
Let me look at you. Oh, he's changed, Laura. Thin. Ought to eat more. Well, I expect 8 years in a way. It can change a man.
Even 8 hours can do it.
Very thin indeed. You know, I hate to see a thin man or a woman.
This is Dr. Harris from the rest home and his assistant, Mr. Fiddler. Judge Harley, gentlemen.
How do you do, Judge?
I won't intrude. I just dropped by to see how you were progressing with your personal bankruptcy.
My attorney will file in a week or so, Judge.
Yes, well, it mustn't delay too long, you know. As a friend, I'll hold back the flood as long as I can, but... creditors will be creditors. Yes. Well, I'll be running along. Stephen, it's been wonderful to see you back in the bosom of your family. You fatten him up now, Laura. Hate to see a thin man or woman. Good day.
Give the judge a couple of seconds to leg down to his black limousine, which I can see through the French window. I toss a haymaker at Johann and pull an Esther Williams through the casement. I land in a bramble patch, snatch, just as the judge gets to his car. Judge! Judge Harley! Hold it, hold it.
Stephen, what is it?
Get in the car, I can't talk now. Come on, let's get going.
No, but Stephen,
Look, I'm not Stephen. My name is Rocky Fortune. This whole thing's a big hoax. Now step on it before they get here.
Of course, Stephen.
Rocky!
Strange, it won't start.
The ignition's not on.
Okay, hold it. Don't try to get away, Steve.
Fat chance.
You okay, Judge?
What happened?
Steve here tried to do away with himself. Right out of the window. Lucky it was the first floor.
What was he telling me about being Rocky something or other?
Oh, he's Rocky, all right.
Judge, listen. Call the Gridley Employment Agency in New York, will
you? Steve, you know what I got in my pocket. Now, be a good boy and I'll give you some candy.
Okay, man. You win. This time.
Sorry to have troubled you, Judge. Come on, Steve.
I'm glad I was of service. Take good care of Steve now.
Don't worry about that, Judge.
It's thin. Very thin.
Lugs me back into the house like a piece of stale mackerel, and the good doctor immediately slips me a needle full of wink and blink and a nod.
There we are.
Oh, the poor darling, he's all scratched up. Let me take him up to our room.
Yeah.
My dear, you see how unstable he is. I'm afraid he'd better be in a separate room. Johann will stay with him.
But we haven't seen each other for 8 years.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Laura. As his physician,
You're no more physician than I am Steve Crandall. Baby, they're trying to put one over on you. I don't know why.
Johann.
But...
Yes, doctor.
Johann puts the muscle on me and I'm locked into the guest room on the second floor. By the time we reach the door, my head feels like the steam room at an all-night Turkish bath. I get my ear on a pillow and pass out.
Rocky.
Hmm?
It's me, Laura.
Hmm.
I've been waiting for you.
I've arrived.
Kiss me, Rocky.
Why not? Say... That's nice perfume.
I'm glad you like it.
Makes me sleepy.
Sleep.
Smells like... Smells like marsh gas.
Shh.
Gas. Gotta wake up. Gotta open the window. Come on. Come on, boy. That's a boy. Crawl. Crawl, boy. That's it. Now the chair. Window. Come on, boy.
Steve! Steve, what is it? I was in my room and I heard a crash.
Nothing much, baby. Let me get some air.
Well, you're sick.
I ain't healthy. Whew. Turn off that gas heater, will you? Where's Johann?
He's downstairs with Dr. Harris. Well, Steve, what happened?
Your friend Johann tried to fit me for a casket, that's all.
Steve?
I am not Steve. Let's get it straight, honey. Whew. Before Muscles gets back. My name is Rocky Fortune. I'm a ringer. The doc and Johann are trying to pass me off as your husband. You ought to know better.
I do.
It's a nice time to say so.
Well, I didn't dare. They threatened to murder me.
Okay, let's have it.
My husband committed suicide in their sanatorium some months ago. He carried very heavy life insurance. Naturally, we couldn't collect on a suicide. Johann and the doctor decided that they wouldn't report the death. They got you to take Steve's place.
I begin to get it. I have an accident, you collect double indemnity, and they pry you loose from the money.
They forced me into it.
Okay, we gotta get out of here, baby.
But they'll kill us.
Not if they want me to look like an accident, they won't. I'm worth a lot of loot, kid.
Well, how can we do it?
Is there anybody in the house you can trust?
Deems.
Fine. Get to him, tell him to have a car ready in front of the house in exactly 5 minutes. Where's Johann and the doc?
Downstairs.
Probably give me plenty of time to soak up the ether. Okay, look, go down, tell them I'm lying here dead. When they come up, you get out to the car. Got it?
Yes.
Wish me luck.
Good luck, Steve.
Rocky.
Good luck, Rocky.
As soon as Laura leaves, I fix up a dummy out of pillows and stuff it in the bed. And I slip out of the room and hide in an alcove about 10 feet away. I wait. A minute later, the doc and Johann come stumbling up the stairs like a thundering herd. I let him rush into the room, take 2 giant steps, and lock the door behind
him. Hey, open that door. Open that door.
Can't hear you, Uncle.
Please open the door.
Temper, temper.
Open the door, please.
So long, gentlemen. Don't think it hasn't been a pleasure, because it hasn't. I am down the steps like a grasshopper in a granary and on my way out when I see the telephone and get a sudden inspiration.
Operator?
Operator, I want the municipal courthouse. Judge Harley, it's an emergency.
I'll connect you with information.
I said emergency, baby.
If it's an emergency, baby, I'll give you the hospital.
I'll settle for information. Make it fast. Upstairs. upstairs, I can hear Johann and the doctor making headway with the door, and I don't have much time to waste on explanations. I need something that'll knock the judge right off his bench and bring him out here in a hurry.
Hello?
Judge Harley?
Yes?
This is Deems, the Crandall butler.
Oh, what is it, Deems?
Master Stevens has just murdered the entire family, sir. He's kidnapping me.
What? What is this? What's that banging noise?
It's dynamite, sir. He's blowing up the house room by room. I think you'd better get out here, sir. Here they come.
Deems.
Bye. I figured this ought to bring him out on the double, so I write a message on the mirror with Laura's lipstick and leap out to the car one jump ahead of the hounds.
Are you all right, Rocky?
Fine.
What took so long?
Had to call my bookmaker and was sure a bet.
What about the doc and Johann?
On the inside, looking out. Head for the local constabulary, Deems, the old sock.
Yes, sir. Boy.
I spend the next few minutes gazing fondly into Laura Crandall's lavender eyes, and she gazes back. I can see the fine blue blood surge through her cheeks. And on her, a blue surge looks pretty good. I'm ready to surrender to the beast in me when Deemsy makes a screaming turn off the main highway and pulls to a stop 10 feet from the edge of a cliff. Hey, what gives?
There's been a car following us, sir.
I didn't see any car.
If I may say so, sir, you weren't paying much attention.
All right, let's get going.
I'm afraid not, sir.
Listen, egghead, I said let's get...
You were saying?
Put down the gun, Deemsy.
I'll give the orders, Mr. Fortune. Get out.
Wait a minute. What is this?
Just step over to the edge of the cliff, if you please.
What if I don't please?
You take on weight all of a sudden.
He means it, Rocky.
Okay. Mind if I ask what happens next, or am I being naive?
Next, Mr. Fortune, you accidentally fall off the cliff. The car follows you.
Accident. Double indemnity.
Exactly. Now, turn around.
What makes you think they're going to believe it?
You're suicidal. Even Judge Harley saw you go through a window.
Very neat.
Turn around. We have much time.
Okay, okay.
Laura, push him over.
I...
Come on, this is no time to lose your nerve.
Steve, I...
Push him.
I can't do it.
All right. Take the gun. I'll do it myself.
I hear a car.
Stop worrying. All right, Mr. Fortune.
That first step looks like a Lulu.
Get going.
Wait. Wait, listen.
A police car. Come on. Okay, hold it. Hold it or I shoot.
Steve! Steve, watch out for the cliff! Oh, no.
Grab her!
I've got her.
Let me go! Let me go!
Take it easy, baby.
You all right, Mr. Fortune?
I'll let you know later. Right now, I'm a little numb.
Well, you picked up the car and then lost it again.
What convinced you I was telling the truth when I called?
I know you weren't Stephen Crandall the first time I laid eyes on you. I also know I couldn't do anything about it at the time. When you phoned me before you left the house a few minutes ago, I'd already checked the employment agency in New York City. You're lucky we picked up the car.
What about the guy who fell off the cliff, Judge?
Is he dead, Sergeant?
Well, I didn't have a chance. Who is he?
As far as I know, he's the Crandall butler.
You got it wrong, Judge.
You know him?
I think if you take off those phony side whiskers, you'll find out he's the guy I was supposed to impersonate, Steve Crandall.
What?
Blossom here called him Steve just before he took the Brody.
Laura, is it Stephen?
Yes.
Why did you do this?
We had no money when Steve left the institution. He cooked up this scheme with the doc and Johann to cash in on his own insurance.
Next time I answer an ad for a chauffeur, remind me to make sure they want a live chauffeur, not a corpse.
Tonight, NBC Radio has presented, transcribed, Frank Sinatra as that footloose and fancy-free young man known as Rocky Fortune. Others in the cast included Francis Urey, Maurice Hart, Jack Mather, Herb Ellis, Stanley Fraser, Lynn Allen, and Stephen Chase. Andrew C. Love directed. Eddie King speaking. Now, to tell you about next week's adventure, here's Frank Sinatra as Rocky Fortune.
That's how come I'm back on unemployment insurance again. Not for long, though. Next week, I'll tell you about the next job I had. Steward on a big luxury liner to Bermuda. I figured I'd like to see the ocean, you know. A couple of guys were trying to help me, too. Only they wanted me to see it the hard way. From the bottom.
Next week, then, tune in again when Frank Sinatra returns as Rocky Fortune. We join American business and industry in saluting the National Safety Council and the thousands of safety-minded men and women who are, this week, attending the 41st Annual Safety Council Congress and Exposition in Chicago. With the cooperation of business and industry, the National Safety Council is making life in America safer for everyone. Enjoy Fibber, McGee, and Molly tonight on the NBC Radio Network.
And that's Rocky Fortune from October 13th, 1953. Stephen in a rest home, starring Frank Sinatra, as heard on NBC. That was sustained. It was short, kind of a short broadcast. And so I thought, well, let's also play a quarter-hour mystery episode since we have some time tonight.
And that was unexpected as well.
It is unexpected. That's the name of the series.
I get it.
Do you have, are you a clairvoyant?
I must
be. You knew that?
I must be.
Well, The Unexpected was produced by Hamilton Whitley Productions in affiliation with Alan Ladd's company, Mayfair Productions. The Unexpected came to radio in 1947 and was widely syndicated. It was a 15-minute suspense thriller mystery series starring A-minus and B-plus film stars, including Barry Sullivan, Lyle Talbot, Jackie Cooper, Marcia Hunt, Lon Chaney. The series also featured some of radio's best West Coast talent, like Lorene Tuttle, Howard McNear, William Conrad, Gerald Moore, Dawes Butler, Virginia Gregg, stuff like that. It was targeted somewhat toward an adult female audience, mostly because the scripts had an adventurous romantic twist. Yeah. In 1952, the Frederick W. Ziv Company picked up The Unexpected concept for a television incarnation. The series featured Herbert Marshall as host. It aired for NBC 39 episodes on television. But you know what? The radio show was better. So let's tune that in.
Usually it is.
You want to do that? Let's go back to September 19th, 1948. Here's a quarter-hour episode called Masterpiece, starring Barry Sullivan.
Barry Sullivan in
The Unexpected.
Sure, I was lucky. $100,000 lucky. And it was just standing there looking pretty, waiting to be framed. But something else was waiting, too. I didn't know it then, but I was going to meet the unexpected.
The unexpected. A secret future, a hidden destiny waiting for you. Where? When? Who knows? Tomorrow? Today? An hour from now? Perhaps in just a moment, you too will meet.
The Unexpected.
Before our story, here is a word from your announcer. And now, the popular motion picture star, Barry Sullivan, in Masterpiece, a drama of the unexpected.
It was raining that afternoon. The old buildings of Lower Manhattan were crying. Their tears spattered in drops off the awnings, rushed out in streams from the drain pipes and gutters of the old brownstone houses. I was deep in the village, surrounded by art shops and sidewalk cafes and dingy apartment buildings that long-haired men and short-haired women called studios. I ought to have felt at home there, I guess, but somehow I didn't. Maybe Myra was right. Maybe I wasn't an artist. Yeah, but you can't kill a man's desire to paint unless you kill the man.
Got a match?
I hadn't even seen her standing there in the corner. She was wearing a man's slicker and a Windsor knotted tie poked out from the opening at her neck. She was trying awfully hard not to look like a beautiful woman. I reached into my pocket and pulled out a couple of kitchen matches. Here you are.
Thanks.
You're welcome. Going anywhere in particular?
Yeah.
Mind if I walk along?
What for?
Well, I like company.
I don't. So long, and thanks for the light, mister.
All right, so she was a character. You get used to that in my business, all artists are nuts. Yeah, but there was something about this one that... And I watched across the street. She turned into a broken walk that led up to a building marked Cora Frederick's Art Gallery. She pounded up four crumbling cement steps that were held together by a rusted iron rail and opened the door. Well, I had sense enough to come in out of the rain.
All right, mister, what are you selling?
Selling?
Look, I can smell a broken-down artist a block away, and you're it. Landscapes?
Yeah, a few.
And still life. They always paint still life. Well, where are they?
I haven't got any with me.
Okay, bring them in tomorrow. I'll see what I can do.
I started to thank her, but just then a flash of light took a poke at the corners of the dark room. She jumped, but I wasn't watching her. Something else caught my eye, a picture. A picture standing over by the window.
Oh, what are you staring at, mister? The place isn't haunted. It's old, but not that old. Oh, I see that painting over there. Funny, I never noticed it before. Wonder who left it here. I gotta learn to lock that door. They're always
right
sneaking
about the
in
picture.
Canvases and then playing.
It was just a still life, some fruit in a bowl painted with weird colors and distorted shapes. Nothing anybody would want, nobody with good sense. But when the lightning flashed, I knew that I had to buy that picture, even if it took my last dollar. And it did. Here you are, Cora. $5. Take it or leave it.
That's $5 more than it's worth. You ought to know that. You're a painter.
Well, then sell it to me for less.
You're a painter, but I'm a businesswoman. I'll take the $5.
Yeah, sure.
Here, I'll put a newspaper around it. Mustn't let a masterpiece get wet.
Yeah, thanks.
Say, I better find out your name. You'll be the first person to own a genuine O'Hara. Juan'll want to know who you are.
Glenn Clark. I live over on 3rd Street.
Well, here you are, Glenn. I'll see you tomorrow. And I hope the stuff you paint is better than the stuff you buy.
By the time I got home, the storm outside had stopped, but there was one inside waiting for me at the top of the apartment house stairs.
Glenn Clark, where have you been?
Myra was shouting, but I wasn't paying attention. I was used to her nagging. I'd been listening to her for 7 years now, and maybe, well, maybe just by accident, just because of a rainstorm and a flash of lightning, I'd find a way to shut her up. It had happened to other people before, a lucky break that made the difference between Greenwich Village and Park Avenue. Well, heaven knows it's my turn.
Now, what have you got there? What have you wasted your money on this time?
If you just shut up for a minute, I'll tell you.
Oh, you'll tell me, all right. You'll have a good excuse. Well, if you've spent this week's rent again, I'm going to leave you. Do you hear me, Glenn Clark? I'm going to get a divorce.
Shut up, Myron. Go inside.
Don't you dare!
I said go inside. Now, listen to me for a minute. I bought this painting. It took my last $5.
You mean that you...
Now, listen. If I'm right about it, we'll have enough $5 bills to paper this whole room. Here, wait a second now. Just take a look at this. There.
Oh, no. No. Glenn Clark, I always suspected you weren't in your right mind. But I didn't think you'd go as far as this. This monstrosity. Why, it's worse than the stuff you paint.
Thanks for the compliment.
It's funny, isn't it? Just hilarious that you should spend our last $5 on a horrible-looking still life. Well, go on, Glenn. Why don't you laugh the way you've been laughing at me all along? Don't you see the joke? Well, I'll show it to you. I'll give you something to laugh about.
Myra, put down that knife.
This is what you brought home for dinner, isn't it, Glenn? Well, let's eat it. I'll cut it up, and we'll have it in sandwiches with mustard, Glenn. With mustard.
Stop it, Myra. Come here, sis. Myra, stop it. I didn't buy this painting because it was pretty. Here, look at it under the lamp. See up there in the corner where the paint's thin? There's another picture painted underneath this one.
So what? We've got 60 paintings cluttering up the places.
Not like the one underneath. This is old canvas, Myra, very old. And the color in that corner, that purple, only one man ever used that purple. And no one has ever been able to mix it since.
What are you talking
only
about?
Only one man, Myra, Rembrandt.
Rembrandt?
Yeah. I saw it in the shop when the lightning flashed. I could tell then that the stupid fool who did this still life had painted over a Rembrandt, and he didn't even know it. No one knows it but us.
Oh, no. Things like that just don't happen.
They happen all the time. Every year, someone stumbles across a masterpiece. Well, this year, it's our turn. Do you know what a Rembrandt's worth, Myra?
Well,
at least $100,000.
But, Glenn, isn't it ruined? I mean, the other picture on top.
No. I'll take it off, and I won't touch the Rembrandt when I do it. There's a special preparation. Look in my coat pocket. I got the paint store to give it to me on credit. Go on, get it, Myra. And I'll show you what a masterpiece really looks like. Wait a minute. Myra.
Yes?
Take the painting into the bedroom. I don't want anyone to see it.
All right, Glenn.
I'm coming.
Hi.
Oh, it's you. What do you want?
I thought I'd look at your paintings. Mind if I come in?
I don't keep my stuff here.
Oh?
Anyway, I'm busy right now.
All right. Then I'll give it to you straight. I want that picture back. It was a mistake. I shouldn't have sold it to you.
Yeah, but you did sell it.
And I'll buy it back.
It'll cost you more than $5.
How much more?
Oh, say $100.
$100?
He didn't let me finish. $100,000.
What?
Well, everything's going up nowadays. They call it inflation.
I call it robbery.
That's it, Cora. 100 G's.
You don't think I'd really pay anything like that for a silly little painting. Especially when I can
watching,
have it for
but
nothing.
Not closely enough. I didn't see the gun until it was pointing at my stomach.
Now, get that picture, Glenn. And no arguments.
Yeah. Well, I guess my price has come down.
They call that deflation.
Yeah,
get
sure,
the picture.
Sure. It's right in.
Oh, why, you dirty rock.
Drop it or I'll break your wrist. Drop it. Let go. Let go of that gun. Now, do I call the cops or do you leave? She left. I watched her clatter down the stairway. Then I closed the door. Well, my hunch had been right. The painting was real and valuable. Little girl art dealers don't run around with guns chasing after $5 still lives. I went into the bedroom, laid the picture on the floor, and started in with a rag, some fluid, and a prayer. An hour later, I was finished. My hands were sweating and my head was spinning around and round, but right in the middle of my brain was a beautiful picture. A portrait by Rembrandt. A masterpiece.
You think the story is over, don't you?
But wait. Fate takes a hand. Wait. For...
The Unexpected.
And now, Barry Sullivan in the surprising conclusion of Masterpiece, a drama of the unexpected.
Who is it?
Me, Cora.
Haven't you had enough?
I want to make a deal.
All right. I've got your gun. Come on in.
You still got the painting. I want it. I'll pay.
The price hasn't changed.
$100,000?
No sales tax.
Well, I guess it serves me right for not recognizing a masterpiece.
I was just lucky.
I'll say you were. Right after you bought it, my partner came in. He'd left it in the shop, intending to hide it for...
You mean it's hot?
My partner isn't always too particular where he buys his art. Well, let's have it.
The money first.
Sure. You'll have to take a check.
How do I know it's good?
You can call the bank. My partner has a large account.
All right, just make it out to cash. And don't forget any of the zeros.
Don't worry, I won't.
Well, here it is. I didn't tell you, I cleaned it up.
Cleaned it up? What are you talking about?
The picture.
What are you trying to pull? That's just a copy of a Rembrandt. Where's the Gauguin painting?
Gauguin? But I thought... It was painted over.
Oh, you stupid fool! Gauguin couldn't afford new canvas. He took the stuff students had used when they copied the old masters. Then he painted over them. Do you know what you've done? You've destroyed a masterpiece!
Masterpiece starred Barry Sullivan and featured Inez Seabury and Marlo Dwyer. This is Hal Sawyer, inviting you to listen again soon when another of your favorite motion picture stars meets...
The Unexpected.
The Unexpected is a Hamilton Whitney production, transcribed in Hollywood.
And that's The Unexpected from September 19th, 1948, with Masterpiece starring Barry Sullivan. Hope you enjoyed that. Did you like it, Lisa?
I did.
You looked like you were like, ooh, that's creepy. It's a kind of a scary, twisty, scary radio show.
It's twisty
it was
and scary,
unexpected.
Kind of like me.
Kind of
twisty
unexpected.
And scary.
Let's take a quick break. Then it's more here on the WGN Radio Theater.
They say for every boy and girl there's just one love in this whole world, and I know I found mine. heavenly touch of your embrace tells me no one could take your place.
When you take to the roadway, stay off your phone. Arrive alive. Don't text and drive. This message, courtesy of Budrek Truck Lines, serving the area with quality and pride. Safety is their priority. To join their winning trucking team, call 708-496-0522. That's 708-496-0522. Meet them online at budreklines.com. budreklines.com. Don't text and drive.
And you know what? We won't be able to text when we go on our cruise to Bermuda.
Well,
August 1st.
That's a good thing.
You know, that's coming up. I mean, August 1st.
Right.
We're going to Bermuda.
And this ship is filling up because
yep.
This is not your regular ship.
Yeah.
This is a classic radio cruise.
Yes.
So this is very unique. I think we are the originator of the classic radio cruise.
Right. And we want all
right?
our listeners to come with. But it is filling up. So you have to call Keen Luxury Travel and come with us to Bermuda.
So this is on Oceana Cruises. And we're going to Bermuda. We've got 1 week. We're going from August 1st for 7 nights. Going from New York. And again, we're using this travel agency, Keen Luxury Travel. They're going to take you through the whole thing. And we're going to two islands in Bermuda. We're going to see some pink sand beaches.
Hamilton and St. George.
You are on it.
We are
going to explore Bermuda. We're going to explore the ships, but mostly we're going to have some classic radio
And we're going to get to know our listeners, and our listeners will get to know us better. So come with us August 1st for 7 nights. It takes out of New York. It's going to be a blast. Pink sand beaches
yep.
in Bermuda,
yep.
Lisa.
Turquoise
Can't
water
wait.
And a fascinating history in Bermuda.
Yeah.
Give them a call. Their number is 800-856-1155, 800-856-1155. Or you can go to our website, WGN Radio Theater, and you'll find the cruise banner. Click on it for more information.
Come with us, folks, August 1st. All right, next week, it's Have Gun, Will Travel, My Friend Irma, The Sealed Book, Suspense, and The Six Shooter. That's next time when we come back here on WGN. Thanks to Shante Garth, our producer, Mike Estella, our producer. Thank you, Lisa.
Thank you, Carl.
And of course, thanks to all of our listeners. We'll see you next week.